you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Witch Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Witch Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with someone who's been on the podcast before, but it's a really long time. I think it's been, it must have been, what, 2017, 18, something like that, when you were last on the show? It's been quite a while.
Yeah, it's been a few years, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that the best way to maybe start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and maybe just give a bit of background about what it is you do as a musician, just so, you know, people who maybe aren't familiar with you can get an idea of what it is you do.
Well, I'm Kieran West. I spent a lot of years playing in my band, Kieran West and his Buffalo Band. We were sort of an alternative country group. And I've played around in a couple other bands. I was in Sebastian Al for a while playing guitar. I played acoustic guitar in Micah Ehrenberg's band for quite a few years as well. And yeah, so I've been on the scene in some way or another since I was about 15, so for about 15 years now.
And what are you doing now? I mean, I know a lot of those projects kind of seem like you're talking about them in the past tense. What is the current project that you're working on, or projects, depending on what you have on the go?
Yeah, so I am just about finished a solo record, and that'll be out December 15th. And I have just started, in the last couple of years, started, a new band, that I'm really excited about. We sort of started right at the beginning of COVID. And so, it was slow going for us for the first 2 years.
But, sure.
But yeah, we're called Looking Inward. And that's with, Ian Clements, who was in Soulhound.
Right.
And I played with him and Sebastian Al, and with Kelly Martin, who is the bass player for The Details, and Kazmir Grual, who is one of my bandmates in Micah's band, and he played in Lanikai, and he has his own solo music as well.
Yeah, I've had him on the show quite a while back as well, but for sure, yeah. So those are all well-known people within the local music community as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the idea with that was really just Kaz and I wanted to get together and write some songs together, and I had never really done that, write collaboratively. And then I met Kelly actually because I work with her, and so I had wanted to play with her for a very long time because I was a big fan of Detailed.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of happened that Kaz and I were talking about playing together, and then I wanted to play with Kelly really badly. And, you know, Ian and I played in Sebastian Al for a couple of years, and I really wanted to get back into playing with him. So everything just kind of came together sort of all at once, and that was how we all kind of came together as a group.
And then COVID happened.
Yeah, and then COVID happened, yeah.
So I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sure you are. Everyone's sick of talking about it. But yeah. At this point, like, how did that affect things? I mean, especially you just started this new band. I mean, that's an exciting time. You're starting to get an idea of what you want to sound like and developing sort of the communication between members and things like that. And then you're stuck in this situation where you can't even get together. How did you manage to keep momentum going, I guess, to still exist now, despite those 2 years of kind of shittiness, enforced shittiness, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we really didn't keep momentum going in a lot of ways. We got to, as kind of restrictions weakened, we would get together periodically, and we also, you know, we're all sort of cautious people, so yeah. We weren't even really concerned with what the restrictions were, but more how we felt. And a lot of the times we felt that we wanted to be safe over kind of just, you know, taking every opportunity we could get just because the government had decided that whatever, like COVID doesn't exist anymore.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, like things really changed in my life because I had a son a year ago. So right around like before that, before he was born, things seemed like they were getting safer out there. And so we were kind of picking up a little steam. But then, about a month before Isaiah, my son, was born, we, that was when Omicron hit.
Right.
And so it was like all over again. We don't really know what this is like or what this is going to be like. And so I actually made the decision to just, like with my partner, we decided to just kind of shut down everything. And so for 3 weeks before Isaiah was born and for a couple of months after he was born, we just didn't do anything because we didn't know what was going to happen and we just didn't want to risk our,
of course, yeah,
you know, newborn getting sick. So there was another, you know, 4 months where we just kind of didn't practice. But then once, you know, once things with Omicron came to a little bit less of a serious point, we started to get together. And so over the last, you know, 7 or so months, we've been really working very hard on our material and our sound, and it's sounding really quite amazing. So.
Cool. Well, how do you define the sound? And I know that's a shitty question. People don't like answering it because there's so many genres and subgenres and sub-sub-sub-genres. But I mean, is there a Cole's Notes kind of version of how you'd explain what it is that you guys sound like?
Yeah. Ian has coined it's post emo Americana.
Okay.
And I tend towards the term Nemo with an N at the beginning.
So I've
always been really, really into Midwestern emo. That's one of the genres I grew up on. And so, you know, with all this kind of time to experiment, and I'm sure this has been, I know this has been a story that's been told on this podcast a bunch of times, but I had a bunch of time on my hands.
Right. And so did everybody, right? It's been such a weird experience for everyone to go through. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it never gets old, that story, because everyone deals with it differently, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I ended up with all this time on my hands, and this is also like, I mean, throughout my time in Buffalo Band, I was living in active addiction, and I didn't have any money ever, and I didn't really play my own gear, and I didn't have an opportunity to really develop my own sound. It was just kind of like, here are these songs that I've written, and I'm going to play it on whoever's guitar I'm borrowing tonight.
Yeah.
But this is the first time in my life that I've been able to kind of accrue some gear, and really, flesh out what I want to sound like. And so, you know, I like one day I was like, you know, I really would like to try playing a Telecaster or a Stratocaster. And so I went to Long Wade and I like had one, at least one from there. And, or I financed one, sorry.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I started playing around with that, and I got into this band called Gleamer. It's spelled G-L-E-E-M-E-R.
Okay.
And their lead guitarist plays with a lot of, like, he plays with Chorus in a lot of their songs, like the Chorus effect. And so I was like, yeah, that would be really cool to kind of just go out and buy a Chorus pedal and experiment with it. And so that's what I did. And so I've developed this sound, which is by no means like original to me, but it's just something that I had never been able to do. And so it's like, okay, maybe I want to play like this. Maybe I want to sound like this. And so it's this kind of chorusy Stratocaster sound with a little bit of overdrive.
Okay.
And so it's like very much in that Midwestern emo style. And then I started experimenting with different tunings, like the tunings that they use in a lot of emo bands are kind of different than the sort of standard tunings that a lot of people use.
And so
just takes a lot of experimentation with that and with just kind of trying to be more vulnerable with my words. And then just also the influence of like having Kaz around and the environment of like Buffalo Band was always like a band to me, but it was like I kind of had a lot of the say of what happened.
Right.
Even though musically it was very much shaped by what everyone else did. This is like my first time being in a band in a very, very long time. Like the last time I was really in a band was with Sebastian Allen, and I left Sebastian Allen, I think in 2014 or something like that. So
yeah, it's almost a decade.
So it's this kind of combination of experimenting with these kind of emo sounds on the guitar. Kelly has this background with The Details, which is kind of an emo pop band, and then just kind of Kazmir has this really wonderful ability to kind of fit into anywhere, as is Ian, but like my songs are still kind of quintessentially Americana and folky in essence. So okay. 'Cause I'm not writing with a lot of like changes in pace or things like that happen in emo. Like there's a lot of kind of complex song structures,
sure,
and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
We're not really doing anything like that as of now. But yeah, they're still very simple songs, but they're played with more of a complex background, I suppose.
Well, life around here, no, it ain't been the same. All we can do now is just pass on your name. It feels like a bad dream, lasted 22 years. But when I wake up, you won't be drying my tears. Scattering the ashes.
Picking up all the pieces.
lost everything, and all that I have now is my will to sing. Dead of the winter, I'm all alone. All that I need is just to.
Well, it's an interesting combination of two things, too. I mean, because, well, first of all, I think emo is having a moment again, which is kind of cool. After kind of a long time of being pretty much, you know, crapped on by a lot of people as a genre for at least a decade and a half or so, you know, it's finally people are starting to realize that there was actually a lot of really good stuff that came out of, and that emo was more than just this one trend, right? And it had this long history and some of these great bands that came out of hardcore and post-hardcore and all this stuff that led to the trend that everyone hates. But you know what I mean? Like, it seems like there's a generation of kids who grew up on emo who are now, you know, fully adults and doing their own thing. And those influences are a lot more pronounced, I think, because people are proud of it rather than having this kind of, oh, yeah, maybe I listen to it, but I don't want to tell anyone about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've always, us elder emos, we've always been here. We're just finally having our day in the sun. I really wasn't actually aware of the sort of new trend in emo until kind of recently. And Spotify, with all of its, you know, problems, is actually really helpful to me as a listener, because it's helped me find a lot of music that I really love.
Cool.
Bands like Gleamer, who they've released a new record this year. A band that actually just released a new record, I think last week, called Arm's Length, which is one of my new favorite bands. They're just incredible. But very much this kind of tradition of that sort of second wave of emo in the 90s with like the Promise Ring and bands
of
that sort of nature. Yeah, so it's very exciting that there's a lot of new bands that are making music that bring me back to, you know, being 16 and, you know, angry.
Do you think that that's the appeal of it? Is just that, just the way it's very obviously taps into those kind of teen angst emotions, and not in a like a dismissive way. Like, you know, obviously a lot of these bands have done something, whether it's musically, lyrically, or both, that has really, like, it touches something in a teenage kid going through some of those emotions, and it sticks with them, right? I mean, you wouldn't be still into this kind of stuff if some of those bands you listened to as a teenager didn't have that kind of impact on you. Is that what it is that's making this sort of still be a thing, or be a thing again, is just that ability to kind of focus on those feelings that everyone's going through?
Yeah, I think that's why certain music has this kind of evergreen quality to it, right? Like, that's why, you know, people still listen to Hank Williams, right? Like,
totally, yeah.
Because it's like primal, you know? It just speaks to something that's very deep within us, and it hits on all these valves that we, you know, we often keep hidden. But when we're, you know, alone in the car, you know, we can turn up that, you know, Captain Jazz to 10 and scream about Van Gogh, and, you know, it's, yeah, it's, I mean, that, and I can't speak for anyone else, I suppose.
Of course, yeah.
But I think for me, that's what keeps me coming back to music like that, is just how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me feel like I'm not alone, you know?
Is that the same feeling that you would have had when you first heard that kind of stuff? Or has it grown with you? Like, has that kind of the way that you relate to those feelings, has that changed as you've changed as a listener, as a musician, as a human being?
I would say yes to both of those things. So, when I was a kid, you know, I grew up, with this kind of chip on my shoulder, and I really kind of rejected my peers in school, and I didn't want to be one of them, and I didn't want to be like other people. And in a lot of ways, I just naturally wasn't like other people, but I did feel alone. And so when, you know, you turn on a band like, you know, my number one favorite band of all time is Alexis on Fire. And so when I listened to them as a kid,
yeah,
it was very much like, you know, I'm alone in my high school, but all across this country are scattered people like me. But it has evolved in a way that's, kind of healing too. Right. So, you know, now when I listen to that music, it's like, you know, not only am I not alone, but I have the ability to reach out to other people, and I have the ability to grow.
Yeah.
And to heal and to change, right? And that's not something that I felt like when I was a kid. I just resented everyone, and I didn't want to change. I didn't think I needed to. But, you know, being a 30-year-old man who's a parent and has been through a lot and put other people through a lot, you know,
yeah.
I've now grown. And yeah, I think that, you know, especially bands like Alexis on Fire that are still around, you know, their understanding of their own music has clearly changed, especially with their new record, you know?
Well, and they're yeah, you know, probably a decade older than you as well, right? So, or more. So they've kind of, yeah, gone through it multiple times at this point, and they're back and getting a lot of popularity again, which is kind of cool to see after, you know, mm-hmm, all these years too. So yeah, it makes sense. How is your, I mean, all this stuff that you've dealt with, I mean, over the past little while, becoming a parent, going through the pandemic, all of these things, how has that affected your songwriting? I mean, has it had an impact notably on it, or is it something that just kind of is subtle in the background?
No, it's super in the forefront. I, right around the time that Isaiah was born, it was when Dashboard Confessional's new album came out.
Okay.
I don't know if you've heard it, but
I haven't heard it. No, but like, I knew there was one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like his, it's like, I'm a dad now and I'm okay now record.
Okay.
Cause I think, I don't know the details, but I think he had some sort of a motorcycle crash and so he had sort of near death experience. And so this new record is very, very centered around like, it seems like he's trying to tell us all that he's very thankful for everything that he's gotten and he loves doing this, but he is like a family man now, right?
Yeah.
And his number one thing is his family. And so that record coming out right when I was starting to write a lot of songs for this new band, really inspired by songwriting, because it was like, you know, like, yeah, it's cool to write songs about being a dad, because, you know, Dashboard Confessional is doing it, and I can do it too. And it directly influenced like three or four songs that I just kind of just popped out of me sequentially. Yeah.
Cool. And do you think that, like, those are probably songs that you couldn't have written before, right? Just not having not gone through that experience of being a dad, because it's like, I got older kids now, but I mean, yeah, it's a thing, right? I mean, it's not something you know about until you do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's been this whole experience. It's like, like nothing could properly prepare. And I mean, we as a society, we make no real attempt to actually prepare people for parenthood. But
that's true, yeah.
But like, you know, having gone through it, right? You know, there's nothing this because it's so unpredictable and it's so, it is just such a pivot, you know. And I've like I say, I went through becoming sober after, you know, like years of drug and alcohol addiction.
So, yeah,
like I've been through a significant life changes, and this is like nothing else, right? But yeah, it's the kind of thing that you couldn't not write about, you know, from my viewpoint.
Yeah, well, especially if you're writing music that is personal and then touches on emotions and then feelings. I mean, that's what you're feeling when you're dealing with a new kid too, right? Is just that 24/7. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can smell the ice from the second that I walk outside. Guy with the hose, yeah, that's my hero. Everything is dying, I'm coming alive. And I'm in the cold, and here I am. And I miss the feeling from tying my laces after a long escape.
So at this point, I mean, I know you said that you had a record coming out in December, but what's the best way to find you now? Like, are you playing shows leading up to that record release, or what's the plan sort of for the next few months? Or next month and a half, I guess, at this point?
Yeah, so this record is kind of the result of like years and years of planning and work. So this was another thing that was really affected by COVID. Where after the Buffalo band kind of dissolved, I started working on this record with my new band, and that was with Matt Halopoulos and Dan Burtnick, and Ryan Lindsay was playing guitar for me. And so Matt and I made this, most of this record, and then like everything shut down.
Yeah.
And then again, like I became a dad and all this stuff. I went back to school and all this stuff, and Matt, you know, started working as an electrician as well. So there was a lot of stuff that got in the way there. So this record is something that we've been sitting on for a really, really long time. And it's finally kind of, we're just tweaking the last things now. There, as of now, won't be any sort of formal release show. But in terms of seeing me live, Looking Inward, we're playing our first show November 25th at Park Alleys.
Oh, cool.
So tickets are available online, and I think there should be some at the door as well.
Is that, how do you feel about the OO playing? That's probably the first show you've played in a while, right? With any project at this point because of COVID and everything else, or have you played shows recently?
I've been really fortunate that I've been able to kind of sneak in and out.
Okay.
So 2 years ago, the sort of first summer that we had when everyone was like, yeah, COVID, but also, you know, it's summer and I want to have summer.
Yeah, there was like that weird lull where things sort of happened and then everyone was like, oh, wait, no, we shouldn't be doing this. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was summer of 2020. I played a small festival, and then I played that same festival in 2021.
Okay.
And I got to play like one of those backyard shows that people were having. I haven't played any venue shows in probably since 2019.
Okay.
So I am really excited about that.
Is it weird going back to that, especially with a new band? I mean, this is like a totally new thing for you, right? I mean, with this project, and now after a couple of years of playing venue shows, you're back with this one. Is it? I'm sure you're excited about it, obviously, but are there nerves related to this? Like, are you worried about it, or are you comfortable enough with the songs and with the other members of the band that you're good to go?
Yeah, I think because I've totally shifted my view of what it means to be a musician for myself, like there's really not a lot of pressure these days. Like I want to put on a great show, like an amazing show for people. You know, that's one of the things that I've always been really proud of, is my ability to put on a great show. But you know, like I'm no longer trying to do it, right? Like it's not my job anymore. It never really was, but I'm no longer trying to make that happen, right? I have other things. I'm in school. I'm going to become a teacher. I'm a dad, you know, like, and the same is true for the other members of this band, right? Kazmir is also a new dad.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, Kelly is like a million different things. She's like this kind of odd job Jane, and she does everything and is amazing at it. But, and then same goes for Ian, right? So we're all kind of in this phase of life where we just need to keep playing because we love playing music. But there's really no pressure coming from anywhere. And you know, like we've got this kind of group of people who are our friends and people who have admired our previous work, who are just kind of excited to see us play. And
yeah,
like there's really no pressure. And so, you know, for fear of sounding ignorant, I don't want to be too confident, but I really think that it's just like we're all just there for the same reason, to just like just enjoy ourselves and play music, and so yeah, like I don't know, it is strange to be to be coming back to this, and it's certainly weird to be playing at a bowling alley.
Yeah.
But I mean, like in my younger days, I played stranger places.
I believe it. Yeah. But yeah, that's almost an ideal position to be in, right? Where you're doing this and you're going to enjoy it, and you don't have that kind of thing over your head of like, what happens if this doesn't sell as well as we hoped it to? Clearly, you want to get people out and you want people to enjoy the show. But I mean, there's not that kind of extra level of stress, which I think is where everyone wants to be with something creative. If you're not doing it full time and that's your whole life, then you want to be in a position where you can really just enjoy it for what it is, and hope other people kind of pick up on that and get the same vibe off it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's all just about the music now, right? Like, the four of us in this band have had kind of varied experiences with the music industry. And like, obviously Kelly is the most experienced in terms of that, because
right,
she, was in a very, very popular band for quite a few years. So, We've all kind of had our experiences with the music industry, and we've all kind of shrugged that off and are no longer interested in engaging with that. So yeah, it's very freeing, certainly.
Daddy built the house from an old boxcar. Thirsty for a drink of water, but the walk is too far. This town is gonna grow. Didn't get what we were owed. This piece of prairie looks good enough to call home. Yeah, this is Rooster Town. I wouldn't stick around. We've got no road to drive your car on. We've been here for so long. Yeah, this is Rooster Town. And this sun is going down. And I'm trying to make my way through the pitch dark. North of Grant, they don't care who we are. There's no number on my front door. Three sleeping in the bed and four on the floor. Living off of dirt, trying to make what we have work. I try to send my kids to school, but they don't want us to learn. Yeah, this is Rooster Town. I wouldn't stick around. We've got no road to drive your car on. We've been here for so long. Yeah, this is Rooster Town. And the sun is going down. And I'm trying to make my way through the pitch dark. North of Grant, they don't care who we are. And they say that Rooster Town is dying. Population's declining. And 75 is what they offered me to give up and walk away easily. And the street that makes the border is named for a Métis warrior. And now I've got nowhere to go. They give a veteran's home. Yeah, this is Rooster Town. I wouldn't stick around. We've got no road to drive your car on. We've been here for so long. Yeah, this is Rooster Town. And this sun is going down. And I'm trying to make my way through the pitch dark. North of Grant, they don't care who we are. And North of Grant, they don't care who we are. North of Grant, they don't care who we are.
What's the best way to find out what you're up to online at this point? I mean, I know, you know, people hear this when it comes out, which is going to be very soon, but they could also hear it a year from now. They could hear it 6 months from now, whatever. It's a podcast. It's kind of always floating around out there. So what's the best way to track you down and hear your music that you have out now or in the future and see what you're doing as far as shows and things like that?
I think the best way to follow me would be on Instagram. So that would be at Bad Guy Kiki. That's Bad Guy, K-I-E-K-I-E, which I think is very clever. It's a play
on Rihanna.
Rihanna's Instagram.
Yes, yeah. right.
But yeah, that's like anything that I'm doing, I'm going to post on there. And yeah, I don't use Facebook anymore. I deleted that out in the wake of the Freedom Convoy, and I say that, I know for listeners they can't see.
Yeah, there's
I'm
quotes
doing
on that.
The bunny fingers with my fingers.
No, yeah, I don't think anyone listening to the show is going to take the freedom part of that at face value, because yeah.
I mean,
you never know.
I really hope that you don't lose any Patreons or I don't give a shit.
That's a whole other podcast, but yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, no, I got rid of my Facebook and I'm frankly too old to put up posters. So Instagram is.
Right on. Yeah. And then your older stuff. I mean, I know you have a lot of recordings kind of out there in the world. Are they still available online, like the Buffalo Band stuff and everything? Or is it just sort of you have to stumble upon it in someone's basement or whatever?
No, yeah, Buffalo Band is still up on all streaming platforms, both of our records. They're sort of like, again, for listeners who don't like know me or know what I look like, I have quite a few tattoos on my arms and other places.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like in the jailhouse style. Of just kind of like patchwork, and people will always ask me, oh, like, aren't you going to maybe regret this one day? And it's like, well, no, this is sort of a snapshot of where I was at a certain time in life. And so those Buffalo Band records, although they're very, rough around the edges, they'll stay up there because they're part of who I am, and they're, I'm proud of that work that we did.
I watched through my window as the bands are leaving town, and I hear the story. I miss the